The best advice anyone ever gave me was two words. You can't. And you know what my response was? Two words. Watch me.
Hi, and welcome back.
Thanks for joining us.
All right, so what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, today let's talk dollars and cents, the cost of bodybuilding competitions. I know it's something we learned a lot about jumping in, a lot of things we thought we knew, a lot of things we didn't know, a lot of things we learned. So this is an episode where we thought it might be good to start out where we teach you a little bit about what the costs associated with this are if you're jumping into this so that you have an understanding, you know what you're looking at, and you can plan for it accordingly. So why don't you start us off, Danielle?
All right. Well, I think the most important thing is to talk about how much it would even cost to enter into a competition. That's kind of the start of it. You know, once you decide this is what I want to do, I'm serious about it, you want to enter for that show, entry fees are anywhere between 50 to 150 per class or division. And it's really dependent on what federation, you know, you're a part of or you're looking into for a show. Some federations have memberships.
That's in addition to the competition entry fee?
Correct. Which that's anywhere between $75 to $150 annually. And then if you want to cross over into a different division, meaning you compete in one division and then you compete in another division. So for example, like me, I'll do bikini and then I'll cross over to wellness. That's a additional $50 fee for joining that second category.
And keep in mind when we talk about these fees, these are not hard and fast rules for every federation and every competition. They vary. So we're kind of giving you averages so you can get an idea, but I would say average on the higher side, because with the cost of things today, nothing ever goes down. It tends to go up. So for a budget purpose or planning, it's probably better off planning on the higher side of the numbers that we're talking about. And again, understanding that the competition fee is definitely different than the federation fee. Once you join a federation, it's usually a year. Some run 2-year memberships. So, you know, you pay that, and then you pay per competition that you want to participate in throughout that year.
And then I know for us with the Mr. America, and I picked that one because it is a little bit different. It isn't a specific federation. It's open to all federations.
Right.
Within the natural bodybuilding community.
All drug free.
Correct. So with that, you're only paying your competition entry. You're not paying for a membership because, again, it's open to multiple federations within the drug free community.
Right. Absolutely. Let's talk next a little bit about posing trunks, bikinis, what you need to be wearing up on stage.
Well, I'll let you go first because I feel like the men are a little bit easier when it comes to their attire for stage.
Yeah, no doubt. So for men, depending on what division you're in, it could you could be posing trunks, you could be board shorts, you could be both if you do crossovers. You know, it all depends on what you want to do when you're out there. But for those, you could be looking at anywhere from, you know, on the very low end, which is rare. Usually it's, you can find a style or a model that might be, you know, limited or they're going out and they're going into the next year's designs. So sometimes you can pick them up for as low as $30 to $50. Anywhere between $100 and $150 is probably the higher end, unless you go with something that's custom made, which I know you'll talk much more about on the woman's side. I've seen some of the men's custom made board shorts or trunks upwards of $200 plus in some cases, depending on how elaborate you want to get. So that's one thing you need to consider, you know, as far as your cost for stage attire.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's, you know, your first show and you're not sure if you like it, I know we both kind of went on the lower end of paying for a suit or for the board shorts, just because we weren't sure how it was going to go and we didn't want to spend a lot of money to not enjoy the sport if we didn't.
And they are reusable. You know, it's not something you can wear once and then it's like you can't be seen in it again, especially if you compete in different events or different federations. Certainly they're reusable, and I have used mine multiple times.
Yeah, and I have too. I actually just repurposed my one suit. I got different bottoms, but same top. So, you know, they have people that will work with you and customize your suits, change them up a little bit, so you're not buying a whole new suit. But for the women, I mean, on the very low end, $100. But I even think that now is a little too low. And it could go anywhere upwards of $600. It's really dependent on what design you want. If you want a lot of glitter, a lot of sparkles, sequins. If you want a little bit, it's a little cheaper. For me, I know with bikini and wellness, I can use the same suit. I would just need to get different bottoms. So if I like, you know, the one suit I have is my wellness suit. If I wanted to use it for bikini, I just have to get new bottoms.
And again, certainly, you know, starting out as an amateur, you probably don't want to jump right to a, for men, you know, a $250 pair of board shorts, or women, a $600 bikini, until you know if this is something that's, the sport is definitely for you, or getting on stage is for you.
And for women, at least, I know, Facebook groups, people are selling their suits all the time. And they're selling them for, you know, $50 to $100, you know, plus shipping, depending.
You can have them tailored.
Yeah, you can have them fixed and altered. You could have different, you know, like glittery...
rhinestones?
Rhinestones and, like, different pieces put on if you don't like what your suit comes with. But I even bought a used suit off of my posing coach, and I loved it. It was perfect. It fit. I didn't have to have anything altered. And it was really a cost saver.
Yeah, it's definitely something you may want to look into, you know, getting an opportunity to... you know, buy something that's already been used that someone else is not going to use. And then, again, if it's something you like or don't like, you have the same option. Maybe you pass them on or you know, sell them and then move on to a newer pair.
And for women, something else that you have to keep in mind if you're going to be in the bikini, wellness, figure, and now the fit model category, you need shoes. And they're some... heels, they're clear. You could get them rhinestoned up. You could get them very basic and clear. They have ones with straps, without straps. There's a lot of variety, but those range anywhere from $50 to $150. And then if you're going to go really crazy with the glitter and rhinestones, they get a little bit more pricey.
You know, it just got me thinking when you're talking about the altering of the bikinis and stuff. I should have mentioned that specifically for the men's board shorts, one of the things you want to think about is having those tailored to fit your shape, your physique. I know one of the things I've heard judges talk about is some people's board shorts being too loose. Technically, it's not supposed to look like a bathing suit that you're just jumping in the water with. It's supposed to show off, you know, the hard work that you put in and shaping your body. So again, that's just another added expense that you might want to consider. And I've had to do that myself.
And it is noticeable. I mean, again, complete amateur, but watching multiple shows and, you know, seeing the different people that show up, you can see a huge difference when someone's kind of like swimming in their shorts and someone's a little bit more, shorts are fit to their body. It definitely shows off a lot more muscle and all that hard work.
Absolutely. Okay, so I think we've covered those pretty good. Why don't you talk a little detail about tanning, hair, and makeup, which tends to be obviously a lot more geared towards the women's side.
Yeah, I mean, the tanning is definitely for both. You know, men and women get tanned. And I think we could both agree that the tanning really does make a difference on
Absolutely.
Stage.
Absolutely, yeah, it's critical.
And most shows do have a tanner that is assigned for that show. They'll set you up with their information, their contact, to get in touch with them. And I recommend using the tanner that they have for the show just because they know what those lights are going to look like. You know, what the tan's supposed to look like.
They'll be backstage. They'll be able to touch you up if something happens to your tan, or you need some more glaze or something. They're there to help you out.
And for those that don't know, do you want to explain what the glaze is?
Yeah, the glaze goes on after the tan. They will rub that on top, and that helps with, the light and getting, you know, the shadowing just right. And it's really shows off all of the, you know, the physique and the cuts, it's an important part of the tanning process.
So the tanning is anywhere between 100 to 150, depending on the show. Again, that varies. These aren't set numbers. I have seen people tan themselves. Some people come out with a different looking tan. You can tell which ones are by the company that is, you know, hosted by the show and which ones aren't, but it's completely up to you. There are many different tanning companies that sell their products, and you can do it yourself.
And sometimes the self-tanning comes out very blotchy. It doesn't blend well. You know, when you're doing it yourself, it's not easy to see everything. I know when the tanning companies are there, they're very professional. They look at you from every angle. A lot of times they'll use even handheld lights to try to see, you know, how the tan looks, because you can't obviously see your back real well. You can't see under, you know, your arms and stuff when you're in posing positions. So it really makes a difference having someone that knows what they're doing.
And they have all the right tools. I mean, they have these, like, it looks like roll-on paintbrushes and these, like, little pads that they can, like, pat you down if you're starting to get a little sweaty. You know, I know for me, especially going between two different categories, if I come off stage sweaty and I'm a little blotchy, they'll touch you up. They'll add a little more glaze. And they're really great, and they have a really good eye for this stuff.
And it makes a huge difference in the photographs. You know, when you see, you know, you're nicely tanned, the glaze is right, the lighting's right. It makes all the difference. And, you know, when you're up there, you want those memories. You want it to be right. You want it to look right. You want to show well for the judges. It's just one of those things that, you know, you shouldn't really skimp on.
I mean, and I've even heard it from judges' feedback watching shows that sometimes the tan can make or break your placement.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That could be the difference between first and second place if your glaze isn't right and they're not seeing, you know, the right muscularity that you do have, but your tan just isn't showcasing it. You know, that could really hold you back as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the hair and makeup.
I highly recommend having both done. It's just a lot less stress on show day for yourself. I'm not a hair and makeup person at all, so I always have them, you know, do it for me. It's anywhere between, I'd say, honestly, $150 and $400. You know, depending on the company, depending on what they do. If you get just hair, that's a little cheaper. If you get just makeup, that's a little cheaper. But both together is a little bit of an added expense, but you're saving yourself the stress and trouble on show day. And just like the tanners, they're there to touch you up. They're there to fix the eyelashes, fix the lipstick. You know, you're eating backstage before you go on stage. They'll touch you up right before you go on. And then with a lot of shows, there's a gap between prejudging and finals. And we both know how long some of those can be. Feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
They'll touch you up again before you go on for the finals, so that if, you know, you place well and you're getting those photos, that you look picture perfect.
And I know, you know, out under those lights, it is very hot and you're sweating. So having someone that knows what they're doing, all the right equipment, you know, right there to help you. I know you've said it yourself. You've had your hair fixed up because you start sweating. It moves your hair. You know, we talked about the tanning side of it. It's just one less thing to have to run backstage and try to find your own equipment and somewhere to, you know, to plug it in, or enough lighting to really fix what you need.
And I'll say some tips and tricks I learned. Well, first of all, the tanning and makeup people, you know, they know this sport. They know what they need to do. And especially with makeup, they know what colors to do that'll match your suit and what, you know, will make you look good on stage and not look too crazy. Or if you're more of a natural person like me and you go and say, I want the most natural looking makeup that is show appropriate, they'll be able to do that for you. And one of the tips,
true professionals at it.
Yeah. I always bring extra hair ties and hairpins, just because, you know, you never know if they're going to run out. They might have more athletes than they thought. I always bring them. You don't have to. They usually have them. But for makeup, I definitely bring my own lipstick. And I think that's helpful, because if for some reason you have to touch it up yourself, you know, or, you know, just for me, like, sanitary reasons, I know they do use, like, a separate applicator for each individual, but I just prefer to have my own. That way, God forbid I need it, I have it with me. But they're phenomenal. And again, it varies on each show, so just reach out to whoever they have for hair and makeup and ask a lot of questions.
Let's talk a little bit about travel and lodging. That's an expense depending on where you compete, how many times a year you want to compete, the locations you want to compete. That's something that can add up quickly.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, kind of touching back on tanning with the lodging, a lot of times they do your first coat of tan the night before.
Right, yep.
So even if you're, you know, semi-local, we've done shows that are a little over an hour away. That's a long time to be sitting in a car after you got tanned and your clothes are touching your skin. That'll lead to you having, you know, some marks and spots.
Seatbelts rubbing against you.
Yeah, because
even things you don't think about.
yeah, even with the tanning, and not to go too far back on it, you know, you have to wear loose fit clothing so that you don't have any lines or anything. Females, they tell you not to wear bras, things like that. So if you're traveling a far distance in the car afterwards, that can affect your tan that you just spent good money on as well.
Absolutely. So that's one thing you might want to think about. Is it just the fuel cost, you know, driving an hour or two away? Are you going to decide to stay? Is there a hotel stay involved, which will trigger some other things that you'll find, you know, you may need access to? So I know we've done the Mr. America competition in Atlantic City, which is for us an overnight trip. So we have the added lodging expenses, and then with that comes meals and, you know, incidentals. So, you know, when you're talking about a hotel stay, especially in Atlantic City, you're probably looking anywhere 200 plus a night, and we usually do at least two nights with that.
I was going to say, you want to try and factor in possibly a second night, depending on when your show starts, how many athletes, when you're going to finish. You know, some of the smaller shows, they'll finish a little earlier. A show like the Mr. America, we finished at 9 or 10 o'clock, and then, you know, we're trying to get food, and after a long day, you know, you're waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning, you don't want to be driving 2-3 hours home.
Yeah, the day usually starts out with your tanning, or for the women, could be their makeup that early in the morning to get all the athletes in before a show. And then again, coming off stage that late, you're just wiped out. It's a long day, and like Danielle said, you just want to grab something to eat and crash and kind of unwind a little bit sometimes, you know, connect with some of the other athletes that you'll meet there.
And that's it too. It's, you know, like a networking opportunity. You're able to meet athletes and talk to them about their experiences and shows they've done, and, you know, get to know the people that you just stepped on stage with. So it's also great for the camaraderie. And speaking of hotel stays, some things you want to look for. I know one of our biggest things we look for when we're staying at a hotel for a show is what's in the room. Is there a microwave?
Yeah, meal prep's important.
You know, because that can hinder your prep. You know, if you need to have oatmeal in the morning and there's no microwave, you know, how are you making that oatmeal or those, you know, egg whites? So you got to kind of look at what you're eating, what your coach has you.
And everything's timing. You know, when you're there the day before, you know, the show, you're in peak week, you know, it's timing. You have to eat certain meals at certain times. You have to make sure your macronutrients are set. So the last thing you want to be doing is, you know, waiting in line with 30 other athletes to try to use one microwave in a lobby area somewhere. You know, we've even had some hotels that didn't have them out for public, and we're trying to cut deals with people in the kitchen staff to microwave something for us. So definitely something you want to consider. And I think another thing, if you're talking about hotel stays and lodging, is you also want to look at, you know, the fitness centers they have there for a pre-show prep. So again, if you're trying to find a hotel for lodging with these kind of amenities, you're probably going to have to consider spending a little bit more.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, the price is worth it, especially when everything is included and there, you know, it's less stress on you. So it's the cost of, you know, your stress versus, you know, a couple extra dollars. And, you know, that's why we're kind of doing this episode, to show you how much this stuff does cost, so that you're going into it with a little bit more knowledge, because we were a little bit shocked when we were going through it. We didn't expect it to be, you know, I think as much as it ended up being our first show.
Yeah, it was just kind of a little bit of a sticker shock. You know, you pay that entry fee, you know, you join your federation, and you don't think about all the other things that come along, especially if it's your first show. And we haven't even gotten to some of the other stuff yet that we'll touch on that, you know, we didn't think of. But now that we've talked, you know, about what it takes to get involved in the show, the cost, you know, the tanning, the hair, the makeup, the accommodations, let's talk a little bit about getting, you know, the cost of getting to that actual show. So one of the biggest things you're going to be looking at is coaching and training.
Yeah, you know, it depends on who you're working with, but you'll want to have a prep coach, a posing coach, you know, depending on what your prep coach does, you might need, you know, a nutritional coach as well. I know some people have that all inclusive. Some people have different coaches for each thing. But on average, a prep coach is anywhere between $100 to $500 a month. Again, that's very specific to each coach. You got to kind of talk to them.
What they're offering, like you said, you know, if it's on the low end, you might be just getting either nutrition or your workout program. If it's on the higher end, you might be getting both. You know, as well as some posing. So it can vary that much.
And I will say, when it comes to opposing coach, I know everybody has different opinions, whether virtual works for them, in-person works. I highly recommend in-person, and I recommend even signing up for like a group posing seminar. Those could be anywhere between like 50 to 100 or so per session. We've done a lot of group posing seminars, and there's nothing like being in line with other people and learning what it's going to look like on stage, because you'll have your individual moment on stage, but a majority of the time you're on there, there's other people around you, and that's something you need to learn how to navigate before a show.
And I think everybody's different. Each individual has their likes and dislikes. We've done both. We've done virtual posing coaches, and we've done in-person posing coaches. And I agree with Danielle. There are some things that definitely having an in-person posing coach can be a benefit. They can be there to physically, you know, move you, touch you, you know, kind of reposition you as you're going through the process. But as far as virtual, we've done that as well. You know, our coach, Rich Fitter from Fitter Tactical Strength, now is doing a lot of virtual because a lot of people just can't schedule time, can't get the appointments they need that fits their schedule. So virtual works for them. And I find that it's a great tool for us a lot of times, because with our workout app, we'll do photos, we'll do videos, and we'll send them back and forth. And Rich is able to take those, really take the time to study them, because it's not just the, you know, the 10 or 15 minutes that you're in front of them. He has time to really break them down and give you guidance on how you should be repositioning. And it also works to, I think, our benefit and his, because he can look at how you're developing in those poses, how your muscularity looks, and then he can make adjustments. But also, we've worked very closely with Jenna Badoglio, and I know you'll want to talk a little bit more about that from the woman's perspective. And she's been absolutely phenomenal in person. We've done one-on-ones with her. We've done group sessions with her. And Jenna's fabulous for stopping you right mid-pose and then coming over behind you and actually moving you into positions she thinks you'll look better in.
And she's, you know, she's just very real. And that's something I really enjoy, you know.
Absolutely.
If you're doing something wrong, if you look robotic, if you look, you know, not what you want to see on show day, she'll stop you. She'll say, do it again. And she'll make you do it again until you get it right.
And sometimes it's amazing. I've watched her just tweak things. Like she's stepped behind me a couple times, and let's say it's a double bicep pose or some front double bicep. She'll just move your hips or move your, you know, your shoulders just enough, and it just changes the, you know, the whole look of the pose. So from that perspective, the in-person, you know, makes that difference if you like and need that in-person one-on-one.
And that's just it, because, you know, you could stand in front of a mirror 100 times and go through your quarter turns and go through your posing and be like, oh, I look great. This looks great. But she knows how the judges sit. She'll get down on the floor like she's sitting at the judges' table and you're on stage. She'll say, okay, you need to turn this way. You need to turn that way. And, you know, show you and make you do it so many times until you get it right. So, you know, I like both. I like in-person. I like virtual. I think it's a good mix. If you can do both, you know, like we do, that's even better.
And that's an expense we highly recommend that you account for. Without a posing coach, it's going to take you much longer to get where you need to be and figure it out on your own.
Especially if you're an amateur. I mean, I remember my first season trying to learn the posing. I looked at pictures. You know, my coach sent me pictures, said try and see if you could get yourself into some of these poses and, you know, send me pictures of what they look like. And I remember him texting me and being like, all right, we got to work on this. And it really is, you know, the way you move your body, you know, we joke and say it's like contortionists. You know, you really got to twist and turn your body in some ways that are not natural.
And remember, when you're working with a coach, be it virtual or in person, these are people that have been there. They've done it. In most cases, they've made the mistakes, they've learned from them, and they can save you a lot of time and a lot of effort. And like I said, it's invaluable. You know, that's an expense I would highly recommend you plan for. But let's get down now to, you know, this might not necessarily seem like an expense that you would think of with bodybuilding competition, but it's the behind the scenes stuff that you need to get you there. So, you know, you're looking at, in addition to all these things in your prep time, it's your gym memberships, which depending on, you know, what you need or what you like, could be anywhere from, you know, $30 to $100 a month. You can't discount that.
Yeah, no, and, you know, we did do an episode earlier on, so if you're still not sure what gym is best for you, go back and listen to that one. But yeah, you want to have a good gym membership that's going to benefit you and your training.
Yep, absolutely. And again, there's nothing wrong with doing it from home. If you have the equipment and the ability to do that, certainly, you know, that's your choice and your prerogative, whatever you're comfortable with. But sometimes you do find to be stage ready, you just need certain pieces of equipment that most of us don't have in our home gyms. I think another thing we need to talk about that's an expense that we, you know, underestimate a lot of times is nutrition and supplements.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really think about how much you're spending on your meals and all of the, you know, ingredients and products you need for your meal preps. Weekly, they can range anywhere from $75 to $200. And again, that is a rough estimate.
It's all dependent upon your goals, your body makeup, your size. You know, clearly female competitors or smaller competitors are going to require less nutrition than, you know, guys that are at a much higher level of, you know, let's say professional bodybuilding. You know, their food bill is going to be much higher and their supplements and stuff. So it's all based on your individual needs.
I mean, even us, there's a significant difference of what you're eating daily versus what I'm eating daily.
Right.
Just because we're two totally different people with two different body makeups. And
except in the off season, you catch up pretty good.
Hey, listen, that's what off season's for. A little brownie every now and then doesn't hurt.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you got to account for that in your budget.
It's in there.
That's just something to think about. Some people don't supplement much. Other people supplement a ton. Just an added expense. Again, it all leads up to, you know, showtime and competitions. So the one thing we didn't think about in the very beginning, you know, you just think nowadays with iPhones and everything else that people will come and take video or take photos. And a lot of competitions have professional photographers, professional videographers. They don't want you taking photos, getting in the way, you know, additional lights, people yelling people's name to get their attention and stuff. So there's an expense to be considered with the photos and videos.
Yeah. Photos and videos could be anywhere from 50 to 150 plus. You know, and it's really dependent on the packages they offer. I know we've had some federations we've competed in that do videos as well. You have individualized routines. So they'll take videos of them. They'll take photos of them. There's some opportunities for you to get photos. You know, if you're competing with someone, they'll let you do like a little photo shoot for that, which is an added cost. But see what's included. And I know we both highly recommend them, not only for, you know, just having them, but for progress as well from season to season.
And you know what it does? It takes the pressure off of friends and family that are there to see you compete. It's hard to look through the lens of a, you know, an iPhone or a phone or a camera, and really concentrate for the spectators on what's going on stage. So again, that's one of those things you're going to want to have. You're going to want to have those memories. And in addition to that, one of the things that's great about the photos is they're captured, you know, real time while you're up there in competition mode. And then you can use those as a tool to look back on and see how your posing was, how your foot placement was, how your tan looked, and you can use all that to tweak things going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're great. And, you know, you made a good point. My mother is a wonderful woman, but cannot take a photo or video to save her life.
Absolutely not.
Whether she forgets to hit the button to start the video or thinks she's taking photos and she's not, you know, it alleviates that pressure and she can sit and, you know, watch us. You know, she watches us go through our whole prep. She helps us with our prep. So as much as it's exciting for us to be up there and see our final package and present it to everyone, it's a moment for her to see, you know, all her hard work that she helped us with on that stage too. So it's nice that she doesn't have to attempt to take a video, because I know after one of the competitions, she's like, oh, I got your video, look. And it was me walking off stage.
Yeah. She tries hard. She does everything we need, but video and photo are not her thing. How many times has she done off-season posing photos and videos for us? And we laugh because when we look at them, some are of the floor, some are of, you know, the dog.
Some have her finger right in the way.
So definitely something you want to consider. Don't put somebody in a position to, you know, be responsible for having to take photos for you, let them enjoy the show, get the quality photos you need. Again, another expense well worth it.
I know we're about to get into backstage coaching and assistance with that, but two major things I completely forgot about, and I'm sitting here thinking about show day. Another added expense for females is jewelry. You know, when you're on stage, you want to shine. You want to look like the brightest diamond. And having jewelry on your wrists and your ears and, you know, I'm not a big fan of necklaces. I think it takes away from your overall look. But big earrings, big jewelry, big rings, things like that. Anything that when you move your hand or your arm, it draws that attention. It hits the light just right. And to credit my mom yet again, she always says there's not enough bling. I disagree in my normal life, but on stage, there really is no such thing as too much bling. So
that's a great point. Good thing you remembered that.
You know, again, that's preference. Do you want to do the, you know, cosmetic jewelry that you could get a little bit cheaper or, you know, the real thing? That's up to you. Again, preference, but just know that your tan is going to get all over the jewelry. You're going to have to wash it. So, you know, consider that when you're buying it.
And your cost with that is going to be dependent upon how much you want and the quality and quantity.
Yeah, I mean, I've spent $30 to $50 on some pieces of jewelry. I've spent a little bit more than that. Again, that's preference. And then also for, well, for both, you need a pair of sheets for your hotel room if you're going to stay. The tan does rub off, and most hotels have white sheets. So as a courtesy to the hotel, it's really beneficial to bring your own sheets so that they don't have to clean up that mess or, you know, potentially charge you for that. And then for females, which I don't know what I'd do without mine, a funnel. If you have to pee once you're tanned, I know this is a little TMI, but you can't sit down because you'll have lines on the toilet and on your body.
I think it's great to share that. I know it feels like TMI, but you learned from experience in your first show when, you know, it was brought to your attention that you need these types of things. And we were kind of at the, oh, that was something we would have never thought of.
And yeah, I mean, for females, you know, we are very different than males. We can't stand and pee. It is very messy. And if you have a tan and you splash and it gets on your skin, it'll make your tan look blotchy. And, you know, you don't want that to take away from you on show day. And that to be a reason that, you know, you look at your pictures or you look at yourself at the end and you're like, oh, I wish I didn't have that issue. You know, and the tanners will touch you up. I've had some mishaps myself, but it's just easier. And then that way, if you're, you know, backstage and you're like, oh my God, I'm nervous. You get the nervous, I got a pee feeling. You could just go pee, no issues.
And the other thing it generates is there are usually privacy areas backstage, but there might only be one restroom. I know one of the competitions, men and women, we were all sharing one restroom. And depending on how big the competition is, how many competitors, you know, it's just something to think about. There usually are privacy dressing areas that you might be able to use, something like that, if you had to in an emergency.
I've done it, and it's just easier that way sometimes, you know, and you don't want to go on stage feeling like you have to pee.
That's a good tip. So let's talk about, you were just getting into backstage coaching or assistance. That's another expense that we might incur.
Yeah, I mean, competition-wise, to have someone backstage with you, it's usually an added cost. It's usually anywhere between $25 to $50. But again, depending on the show, that could change. Mm-hmm. Your coach will get a wristband and they'll be allowed backstage with you to help you prep backstage.
And that's also great if you're going to do some crossovers too, because if you're out there and your coach is seeing something, you know, from the audience perspective, they're seeing it from the other side, under the lights, under everything else, they can actually then come backstage and help you make any of the necessary adjustments. You know, it's like the NFL or anything else going into halftime. You know, you come back, you change the game plan a little bit, and then you go back out for your next appearance.
And a lot of times, you know, if you have a prep coach, they'll be the person to do that for you. If not, there's people that you can hire, or, you know, we try to help each other out as much as we can backstage. But I will say this past year, especially being a crossover athlete and competing in multiple divisions, my boyfriend was wonderful. He was my coach because my coach is living his best life in Hawaii. So
God bless him.
He is a great support system, but unfortunately couldn't physically be there. So I had my boyfriend help me out. And, you know, the extra $50 to $100 is so worth it when you're running off stage and they're running right with you to get to the bathroom, to get you your suit, to get you your shoes, to get you whatever you need. And it's just a person backstage that'll help you relax because you do get nervous no matter how many times you step on that stage.
And especially if you're just starting out because you don't know what to expect. You know, the first time you're backstage and, you know, everybody's been great. We have not had one bad experience with any of our competitions, but it is good to have a coach or somebody back there that you can count on, lean on, ask them to run and get something if you need it, or, you know, you forgot something back in the room.
You had a really great one your first season, just saying.
Thank you for stepping up and helping me with that. No complaints. I have no complaints, but it is nice to have that help if you need it and just that support when you come off stage. So again, just another expense that we didn't recognize when we first started out and we learned along the way. So that's why I want to share them with you. You know, hopefully something here is something that'll get you to the next level and have you be well prepared.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally how I got involved in bodybuilding, was being your coach backstage and just seeing everyone, seeing all these women and, you know, looking at them and saying, why not me?
I remember you didn't want any part of it until that first experience backstage. And then I remember you came up at the end and said to me, I'm doing this with you next year.
Yeah.
So, that was a great feeling to know that, you know, you felt that way once you had that experience. So let's take a look overall, just we'll wrap up with what a total estimated cost might be, kind of a high end, low end. I think if you're looking at a local amateur show with minimal coaching, getting you started, you know, just breaking into it. And again, these are averages. You're looking probably between $800 and $1,500. You know, we've done some research on that, not just the federations we belong to, and we've kind of averaged it all out. And then if you're looking on the high end, we're talking about more regional, national level prep with full support. You know, a lot of times even going to pro divisions, you could be looking at $3,000 to $6,000 on some shows, the big shows. So it's kind of just an overview.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it can change from show to show, because if you start your season and you end up winning your pro card,
yep,
and then the next show you do, you want to compete as a pro, you might be paying a little bit more because those pro, you know, fees and the more prep involved might be a little bit more expensive. So you could start thinking you're going to be on the low end and kind of go up to the high end depending on how well you do in your season.
And again, your posing trunks, your board shorts, your suits, you know, as you start to get into the professional level, all that cost is probably going to go up because you're going to want to have, you know, top everything to be competitive.
And honestly, when it comes to suits and stuff, I know we've reused ours. I don't think people really remember, like, what suit you were in. You know, you might with your pictures, but I have, like, three suits, and I reuse them, you know, and as time goes on, maybe I'll get more, maybe I'll switch it up, but when you find a color that works for you and that's everything like that, you know, you don't want to go too crazy, because I know for myself, like, I look at, like, a red color, and I'm like, that's not for me. I'm a blue-colored person. So, you know, that's another thing, too, if you're looking for suits and you have someone that can kind of look at you and say, hey, I think this color would look good. Hey, I don't think this color would look good. That's just another thing that's helpful.
And I think when you're talking dollars and cents, you know, some things may surprise people, some may not. I know some did surprise us, but the bottom line is it's a lifestyle. You're improving your health and fitness level. You know, you can't put a dollar amount on that. The camaraderie's great. The just the whole experience has been great for us. So certainly if you're thinking about it, you know, kind of review your budget, plan out accordingly, and give it your best shot. But before we wrap up, Danielle, I'll just ask if you could share with everybody where to find us, you know, if anyone wants to see us on video versus the podcast. Why don't you go ahead and give our information?
Sure. Well, first of all, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can always DM us on these, but also you can reach us at teamcrossin@gmail.com. For Facebook, we are under Team Crossin LLC, Natural Amateur Bodybuilders and Fitness Enthusiasts. Instagram, we're at Team Crossin LLC. And on YouTube, we are Team Crossin Podcast, where we also put up this podcast in the video version.
And we appreciate your support. We thank you for listening to us, and we ask that you just give us a like and share. Get this information out there for anyone else that may you know, benefit from it. Again, these are just some of our amateur experiences, and we didn't know what to expect coming in, so we just thought this would be a great way for us to share with others that may be looking for information and not always sure where to find it or how to get it accurately.
And if you're listening and you think of an idea or a concept for an episode that you'd like to hear more about, I'm sure there's many other people who would want to hear the same thing. So just let us know and we'll work it into our upcoming episodes.
And we do get emails and DMs from time to time, which brought us to some of these podcasts and some of the topics we've touched on. So don't be shy. Just reach out. And always remember, if we can do it.
Why not you?
Why not you? Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.